You ever feel that life is like a mountain, or at least some parts of it are like mountains that have to be climbed? Tonight at 5 o'clock, we're going to go back to the Old Testament in Joshua chapters 14 and 15 and look at Caleb, the mountain climber, who said, "Give me the mountain." I believe it would be worthwhile for each of us to be here tonight at 5 to sing and pray to God and worship Him and meditate upon His Word. We hope you will prayerfully consider being back at that time to worship God. Naaman was a leper. He evidently had had the disease for some time, maybe a long period of time. He was encouraged by a little Jewish maid to go to the man of God, Elisha, in order to seek help. He took the trip. Elisha didn't even come out to see him. He just sent him word, "Go dip 7 times in the Jordan and you'll be clean." Naaman more or less said, "You've got to be kidding." "No. Go dip in the Jordan 7 times and you'll be clean." "Well, now, wait a minute. What's in the water of the Jordan River that can clean leprosy?" "I don't see anything about that. You should have come out and made some kind of a ceremony of this and taken care of it. And by the way, if I'm going to have to dip somewhere, are not the rivers of Abana and Pharpar here in Damascus just as good or maybe even better?" "No. Go dip in the Jordan 7 times. And you'll be clean of your leprosy." I suspect that most of us that are here this morning have heard this story before. But there's something about it that's important if we'll really analyze it and then make application to our lives today. Notice 7 things about the story of Naaman from the verses that were read and the 7 verses that come just before these in 2 Kings 5. First, Naaman had a serious problem. Most of us are aware today that leprosy is one of the worst diseases that a person can have. In fact, there are situations where if a person has the disease, he may be isolated in a colony off the coast of the United States to get away from people. It is a dreaded disease. It was then, it is now. He had something that was very, very serious. In fact, his disease was so serious that even today, thousands of years later, we probably do not remember very much about Naaman, except that he was a leper. If you look in the first verse of that chapter, you will find that he was a captain of the host in the army. He was a great man. He was an honorable man. He was a mighty man of valor. All of that is said in that first verse, and really the only thing that we usually remember said in the last 4 words, but he was a leper. He had a very, very serious problem. And evidently, as indicated in the next few verses, he had tried different ways to solve the problem or to do something about it. Nothing is said directly about where he had been, if he had been seeking out the physicians of that time. But you can sort of read between the lines as you see the concern that was even with the king of Syria about this man. And I think it is in order that it be suggested that he had been seeking the wrong source or wrong sources to take care of his leprosy. At least so far, nothing had been able to help him. And then he had an opportunity to go to another source. Just a little girl, at least a young lady, Jewish maid, that had been brought back and was serving in one of the houses here, said, "If this fellow would go to a man of God, God can help him, God can heal him." And so it was decided that he would go to this source. The king got things together and sent a message to the king of Israel and gifts to the king of Israel to persuade him thinking that through the political or governmental relationship that maybe he could get something done for this person who was high up in his service. And so Naaman went to Elisha, the man of God, a prophet of God. Elisha didn't even come out. He just sent him a message. And he sent him a message that was very simple. In fact, later on in the chapter, someone says to him, if he had asked you to do some great thing, you would have gladly done it. And perhaps Naaman expected some great thing to be requested, or at least some kind of a great ceremony to be given in his honor if something was going to be done about his disease. But Elisha didn't even come out to meet him. Just sent him word. And said, go dip in the Jordan. Go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and you'll be clean of your leprosy. Naaman did not like the message, though it was simple, though it was something that he could easily do, or most anyone could easily do in a fairly short time. He did not like the message, and so he decided that he would refuse it. Made him mad. When God's preacher told him what he needed to do, and it wasn't what he expected to do and what he wanted, it made him wroth. It made him mad. He began to fuss about it. And he began to refuse the message, the simple message that had been given unto him. Some of the servants began to try to persuade him. And as mentioned a moment ago, said, Master, if he had asked you to do some great thing, he had asked you to take a trip around the world, or he had asked you to give so much of what you own, you would have gladly done it to get rid of your leprosy. And now he's asked you to do something that's very simple, and you're fussing about it. That's sort of the gist of what's in those verses. Well, Naaman still was not convinced. He still was not submissive to the commandments that had been given to him. He said, okay, suppose I do need to dip. Why go to the Jordan? Are not the rivers of Abinar and Pharpar here in Damascus just as good? And I would guess that they were, chemically speaking, better. Or at least from the standpoint of lack of impurity, they were better than the Jordan. I had an opportunity to go to the Jordan River. I have in my office a bottle of water that came from the Jordan River. And I know firsthand that in most instances, the Jordan River is not that clean and pure. In fact, in many instances, it's muddy. And so Naaman may have been thinking about this, and he may have been thinking about the distance and the time. He said, if I've got to dip, why not here in Damascus? He decided that he would alter the plan. He first refused it, and then when he was persuaded to accept it, he began to try to alter it. If I've got to dip, why not here in Damascus in the rivers of Abana and Pharpar? Nope. Go dip in the Jordan 7 times, and you'll be clean. Naaman decided to do exactly what he was told to do. He went to the Jordan. He dipped 7 times, and when he came up the 7th time, he was clean from his leprosy. Rather simple story, but rather profound when we plug it into our situation today. And remember, the things written aforetime were written for our learning, Romans 15:4, and for our examples, 1 Corinthians 10. Let's think about us today. None of us has leprosy, I'm rather sure. In fact, I don't know that I've ever met anybody that had the disease of leprosy. We have other diseases that maybe are just as bad and concern us just as much. But certainly we can't apply this in a very specific sense today to the disease of leprosy, and we're not even interested in applying it to a physical disease. Let's think in terms of spiritual problems. We have a very serious problem amongst us. In fact, we have a very serious problem in the life of each of us who has passed the age of accountability, and that's the problem of sin. Sin is the leprosy of the soul. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. Jesus came to seek and save the lost, people with a problem, Luke 19 and verse 10. I think we do not have to belabor this point. I believe all of us believe this and accept the fact that we have a serious problem in the world today called sin. And it is more magnified than the problem of leprosy in Naaman's case, because there were not too many people that had that disease, whereas today every person who is accountable before God is guilty of sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. 1 John 1, verses 8 and 10. We have a serious problem of sin. There is a tendency for us to go to the wrong source to take care of this problem, or wrong sources. Sometimes we think we can take care of it ourselves, that we'll just ignore it and it'll go away. Or we will come up with some concoction to take care of it. Or maybe we decide we're going to take care of it according to popular opinion or whatever man has said. We go to the wrong source many times. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps, Jeremiah 10, verse 23. And even our worship is vain when we go to the doctrines of men, Matthew 15 and verse 9. But look at the world around us today. Look at the people that we know. And would you not agree that so many people are going to the wrong source to take care of sin? Things like the New Age movement that more or less put man on the throne instead of God. The claim of miraculous healing, the claim of miraculous ways to get rid of sin. Some even praying for the Holy Spirit to come and come upon me or come into me and rid me of my sin. So many people today are going to the wrong source. What we need to do is, like Naaman, go to the right source. That was indicated in a verse that we noticed a moment ago. Christ came to seek and save the lost. He is the source where we can find the healing power for the serious problem that we have in life. In fact, he not only is the source, he is the only source where we can find that healing power. He said himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me," John 14:6. Paul said to Timothy at 2 Timothy 2:10, "Salvation is in Christ Jesus. The healing of our sins, the forgiveness of our sins is found in Christ, where all spiritual blessings are," Ephesians 1:3, "in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace," verse 7 in Ephesians 1. And so we need to be reminded, as the little maid reminded the folks there, there is a source where there can be the cleaning of this sin, the cleansing of it, the forgiveness of it. And that source is Jesus Christ. I believe there is also a likeness with our situation today spiritually and Naaman's physically, in that the message for being healed is very simple. Very simple message. Nowhere did God say, if you'll take a trip around the world, or if you'll take a trip to some shrine somewhere, or if you will give me $1 million, nowhere did he say anything like that. Not once did he ever say that to find what is necessary for the cleansing of our sins, that we have to do something that is beyond our power or extremely difficult for anyone to do. Nowhere do we find that. He just simply said, you've got to have faith in my son. Jesus said, except ye believe that I'm he, ye shall die in your sins. John 8:24 and verse 21, he said, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. You can't be healed without being in me, he said. And he said, in order to be in me, you first got to believe the message that God sends. And that message that was given to the people at the end of that first sermon in Pentecost, or on Pentecost in Acts 2, when they did believe, were pricked in their hearts and asked what to do, Peter gave them a simple message. He didn't say go back and bring half of what you own. He didn't say you have to sacrifice some of the possessions that you have in a burnt offering. He didn't say you have to dedicate yourself in a specific way to go and give your life completely to Christ in preaching. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Just about as simple as go dip 7 times in the Jordan River, don't you think? Repent and be baptized and wash away your sins. Ananias came to Saul of Tarsus, later to be Paul the Apostle, and told him what he would do. Jesus had said, you'll be told you what you must do in Acts 9 and Acts 22:16. Ananias said, Saul, get up and go dip and be clean. In a sense, he said exactly what Elisha sent word to Naaman. He said, Paul or Saul, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. Arise, go, be baptized, be dipped, wash away your sins, be healed. Exactly the same message that was given to Naaman. Just as simple, just as easily understood. And one thing you notice with Naaman, he didn't misunderstand the message. He understood exactly what Elisha said. He didn't misunderstand it in any way. He just didn't want to do it. And so he rejected it. Isn't that exactly what is happening today in the religious world? Isn't that exactly what happened in Bible times in places like John 12:42, when he said among the chief rulers there were many who believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they refused to confess him. They were afraid they would be put out of the synagogue. They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Isn't that exactly what we see about us today? How many times do you hear people saying, listen, you do not need to be baptized in order to be saved. You do not need to be baptized in order to wash away your sins. There's no need of that. And in some instances, there are those who are somewhat like Naaman in that, surely we're going to have some great ceremony and we're going to testify and all of these things are going to happen and we'll be saved from our sins. No, Naaman, nothing like that. Just go dip in the Jordan 7 times to people today. Nothing great, out of the ordinary. Just arise and be baptized and wash away your sins and you'll be clean from this disease of sin. And yet people refuse it and deny it and say it's not necessary. But some will take a little step further, like Naaman, at the persuasion of his servants. He said, okay, if I've got to, what about Abana and Pharpar? Aren't they just as good? Today, look at people who try to substitute. Okay. You say baptism is necessary, let's sprinkle some water or let's pour some water. Or instead of it being for the remission of sins, let's be baptized as an outward showing that we're already saved. Look at the way people try to alter the simple message of God that can cleanse us from our sins. Isn't it exactly the same thing as with Naaman? First, refuse it. And then if I have to do it, let's do it some other way. It just seems to me that sprinkling water, and as this originated, the one who originated it maybe had a reason or an excuse for trying it that way. He didn't want to be immersed. Isn't it just as good? It doesn't matter. It's called baptism anyway. Isn't it okay? Are we any different from Naaman when it comes to being cleansed of the leprosy of the soul? But look what happens when we do what Naaman did. Naaman obeyed and was clean. Just as simple as it can be. He obeyed and he was clean. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. There's the disease. But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then, when you've obeyed, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Romans 6:16-18. If we walk in the light, We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we walk in the light, obey and be clean, disobey and remain sick. Today, if in some way you and I could go to every building in Henderson where there is a religious service taking place and ask the people there, after having read 2 Kings 5, do you believe that Naaman's leprosy would have been healed if he had continued to refuse and deny the simple message? And I don't believe there is a person in Henderson who is religious in any way who would say yes. I don't believe there is a preacher of any religious group in this town or in the United States today who has any faith in this book, who would turn to that passage and, if asked the question, if Naaman had refused to do exactly what God told him to do, would he have been clean? I don't believe there's a person who would say yes. But you turn and read Acts 22:16, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And ask those same people, can people be saved without doing that? And many of them will say yes. Folks, if we can understand Naaman, we can understand the plan of salvation. He had a serious disease. He went to the wrong sources and remained in his disease. He went to the right source, got a simple message, first refused it, tried to alter it, but then obeyed it, and he was clean. And every person today who has sin in his life and has not become a Christian can go to the right source, receive the simple message, believe, repent, and be baptized for the remission of sins, and you will be clean. Why can we not see it today like we can see it with Naaman? I believe with all my heart, if Naaman had continued to refuse the message, he would have still been in his leprosy. Doesn't it make sense that if we refuse the message, we'll still be in our sin? The key to the story is he went and dipped and was clean. Do you need to go to obey God today? If so, do it now as together we stand and sing.